morning. Good morning, Santa Fe, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later in the program, Robert Knott is going to be here speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome David Grant Noble. He is the editor of the book Santa Fe, History of an Ancient City. It's the revised and expanded edition published by the School for Advanced Research Press. And Stephen Post, who is a contributor to the book and who is deputy director of the New Mexico Office of Archaeological Studies. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And great to have you. Have you back. So History of an Ancient City, what do we mean by ancient?
If I could jump in on David, but ancient, we're talking about 11,000 years of history if we consider the archaeological past of our time.
And so what was happening here 11,000 years ago?
11,000 years ago, there were big game hunters, mobile bands of people who followed the last of the Pleistocene mammals across the plains in different environments, basically.
Did they kill off the last of the Pleistocene mammals, or how did they go away?
It was probably a combination of environmental and human-caused factors. It's still one of the big debates in archaeology as to what caused the ultimate demise of the megafauna. So
is that right?
Yes.
It is funny for regular people out there to get a little glimpse of what it is that any given field like archaeologists sit around arguing about. But it's always interesting because we sometimes, I think, have this conception that we are, for the first time in history, making certain species extinct. But goes back at least possibly 11,000 years right here.
Certainly we contributed at that time, yes.
So one of the reasons that this book is revised and expanded is because of the archaeology that was done around the new Civic Center. Is that correct?
That would be one of the contributions that I added to the chapter on the archaeology was the work from the Civic Center.
And so there's a rule that whenever you dig up the ground to make a building, you have to do archaeology. What does that go?
The city of Santa Fe has an ordinance that requires that all developments in the downtown area are subject to archaeological excavation before the work begins. The city of Santa Fe, which is a subdivision of the state of New Mexico, is actually subject to New Mexico's laws. So our excavations at the Civic Center were overseen by the State Cultural Properties Review Committee and the Historic Preservation Division. That was good because we really were encouraged as well as required to do a very thorough piece of work.
Did you have the time to complete the work, with the pressure of getting the building up sort of going down your neck?
Certainly archaeologists would like to work almost as long as it took the time for the deposits to accumulate. But in this case, we did have a fair amount of time. We started in November of 2004 under the direction of Steve Lentz from the Office of Archaeological Studies and completed the bulk of our excavations in October of 2006. So almost two years of intensive work on the site.
And what did you find there what did you find, and what did you find that was new?
We found a full range of archaeological, what we call deposits, basically soil filled with artifacts, and then architectural and everyday features that supported the daily lives of the people that lived on the site. But what we found was not a continuous, but some fairly striking evidence of the earliest farmers who lived in Santa Fe between 400 and 600 AD, so between 1400 and 1600 years ago. And from there, we excavated evidence of use of that site all the way up into the 20th century. In fact, one of the most exciting finds was the excavation of some fairly large refuse pits or trash areas from an 18th century Spanish colonial household that we believe may have been one of the richest families in Santa Fe at that time. So, and the way we tell that, or surmise that, is the fact that there was more Mexican Majolica and Japanese and Chinese porcelain found on that site than almost anywhere else in the Southwest for that period in the 1700s.
In their trash heap?
Yeah, in their refuse.
Why were they throwing away Japanese porcelain?
Good question. It just seems like this particular family had the ability to replace what they broke on a fairly regular basis, which is something that we rarely see in the archaeological record of Spanish colonial Santa Fe. It's really fascinating. So
how, this is a silly question, but when you excavate, how deep do you go?
In the case of the Civic Center, we were working up to 7 feet below the modern ground surface. At the Palace of the Governors, we were working about 5.5 feet below the modern ground surface. At the Rail Yard Park, because there was so much soil piled up over the top of the site, we were working as much as 10 to 12 feet below the ground. So it depends. And sometimes we work just a couple inches below the ground and find fabulous things.
So when was Santa Fe first inhabited as an actual city or town settlement, and not just either nomadic or just farming area?
The earliest villages were established probably by the middle 1000s AD, and certainly by the early 1100s AD. And the early villages had somewhere between 15 and 20, the houses had somewhere between 15 and 20 rooms, and they were occupied by extended families of Native American descent. They were basically farmers who moved into Santa Fe at a time that the climate, as well as the availability of water, soils, a combination of things, all came together to make year-round settlement possible.
There's an amazing picture in the book of a water storage tank that's excavated on Guadalupe. What was that all about?
That's actually the foundation of the water storage tank for the Santa Fe Rail Yard, or for the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railway. And that tank, which would have stood between 20 and 30 feet into the air, was supported by the massive sandstone blocks that you see in that photo. And basically, the water was pumped up into the tank and then out of the tank and over the top into the steam engines. So it was a way to get water into the steam engines.
So when you're excavating, you're finding everything from a century to millennia.
Well, I have to say that David gave me this great opportunity to write about almost 12,000 years of Santa Fe's history, but I like to say that I had less than one word per year to talk about it, which is kind of the case. Typically, you get about a half an hour to talk about 12,000 years or 5,000 or 6,000 words, but I was grateful for the 6,000 words. It was a tremendous opportunity to add a little bit more recent information about our collective past.
That's a little dig about the author-editor relationship.
A little dig?
Sorry about that.
That was good.
So we're talking about the book Santa Fe, History of an Ancient City. There's a timeline in the beginning of the book where it talks about how in the first half of the century the river was dammed and the acequias dried up. What was that all about? Was there an attempt to actually change the farming way of life on the part of the people who were damming the rivers?
Yes, the transition from Santa Fe being a farming community to what it is today was a very painful one in the what we call the American territorial period. And that's because in the 1790 census, more than 50% of Santa Fe's population were farmers. I mean, more than 50% of the families were farming families. And almost all the land close to the river and around downtown Santa Fe today was under cultivation, mostly corn, beans, and squash. Then, after the opening of the Santa Fe Trail, and particularly after the railroad arrived in 1880, the population grew so dramatically that the residents of Santa Fe needed more water. And the water at that point was being drawn from the river into acequias to water the crops. And so also Santa Fe was suffering from periodic floods in the spring and washing out the riverbed and houses, that adobe houses that were situated close to the river in downtown Santa Fe. And as Tara Plua, who wrote the chapter on Santa Fe's acequia system, describes, people regularly in the spring would move their doors and furniture up to their rooftops and just leave town and get away from their houses. And these floods were very destructive. So the dams had that double purpose of supplying water to the people, and the people who had enough money could install plumbing to their houses and actually have running water in their houses, but also to protect the downtown from flooding. The first dam was built in, I think, 1881. It was called the Old Stone Dam. And within a few years, there was a flood that filled it up with sediment. And then the 2 Mile Reservoir was built soon after that, which is the first reservoir that you come to now. It was abandoned several years ago and no longer is used.
This book is full of stories of the history of Santa Fe and the archaeological past, I guess you would say. What's the difference between the kinds of stories that archaeologists can tell and that historians can tell?
Well, archaeologists have this big limitation, I think Steve will agree, that they have to excavate little bits and pieces from the past, material artifacts, and then interpret them, whereas historians have documentary evidence in libraries and personal collections of papers and books and so forth, memoirs, journals that people kept, different time periods. So the documentary evidence isn't necessarily the truth, because when one writes about one's life or one's experience living in a place, you bring your personal experience, your subjective point of view, and probably your ethnic or bias to the interpretation of what's happening around you. And so there were some residents of this area who were pre-literate and did not write about these historical events, the Native Americans I'm referring to. So the history that we have of Santa Fe in the colonial period is completely from the Spanish viewpoint. And whereas there's a lot more detail and a lot more knowledge about what happened, the interpretation of what happened is from the point of view of only one side.
Is that eventually, I mean, obviously it's eventually corrected in the late 20th century, but when did Native people start documenting their own history in writing?
Well, the first schools that came to Santa Fe were really quite late, and Native Americans didn't have formal schools, formal education, until after the territorial period, after 1848, and really not until later in the 19th century. Of course, before that, they had their own educational system, but it was oral, and it wasn't an educational system that formally recorded historical events the way Western culture does. It's interesting to note that today there's so much discussion and controversy about Santa Fe school system and the quality of education in Santa Fe. And in the 1790 census, there was only one person in Santa Fe who identified himself as a teacher. So Santa Fe had one teacher in the late 1700s, early 1800s, and that person was certainly a tutor who was hired by families that could afford to educate their child. So because it was a farming community and because it was so far from quote-unquote civilization, meaning Mexico City and the Spanish colonial capitals in Mexico, education was not something that was of high value to the citizens. And that really didn't happen until, you know, the culture and the economy changed later on in the 19th century.
Associated with the time when New Mexico became an American, a United States territory?
Yes, it wasn't just because it became American, it was because the economy changed, and the nature of the economic change, people needed to read and write and know how to do accounting. And
what was the nature of that economic change?
Well, it was really started in 1821 when the Santa Fe Trail was founded, and that coincided with the Mexican Revolution and Mexican independence from Spain. And at that point in time, Santa Fe began to look eastwards towards the United States for its relationships, foreign relationships, rather than southwards to Mexico City. And the trade over the Santa Fe Trail was much heavier and easier and cheaper to conduct than it was previously over the Camino Real to Veracruz and in Mexico City and Chihuahua. And so companies were set up in Santa Fe that these were Mexican companies to trade with Missouri. Santa Feans called the Santa Fe Trail the Missouri Trail. And wealth was acquired by certain families and business enterprises in Santa Fe who were involved in the Santa Fe trade. And this all required a higher degree of education.
So we are approaching the 400th anniversary of the city. That marks what happened 400 years ago.
Well, what happened 400 years ago was that the city of Santa Fe was formally made into a city, a Spanish colonial city. There's some evidence that a year or 2 years before that date, 400 years ago, 1610, there were some settlers who were living temporarily in Santa Fe, coming here as it was commonly the custom in Spanish colonial times for a site that was being considered for a new settlement to send some farmers to cultivate crops there for a year or two in advance. So they'd come to a place like Santa Fe that they were considering as a new site for settlement and try it out. So they'd plant fields in the spring and cultivate them over the summer and see how it worked out. And if they did that for 2 or 3 years, then the new settlement would get the approval that it needed from headquarters, as it were, in Mexico City to be formally settled. And this was true in Santa Fe, probably. We know from documentary evidence that it was true in the outlying settlements around Santa Fe after the Pueblo Revolt in the 18th century.
I'd like to say that regarding that period between 1605 and 1610, when Santa Fe may have been settled by just a small group, that's really where archaeology can help out. And that's because we haven't found evidence of that early settlement yet, but it doesn't mean we should stop looking. And by working in just a very small area, say just 15 by 15 feet, for instance, in the right location, in this case, perhaps somewhere near San Miguel Church, we might get lucky and find evidence of those first settlers. And that type of information would help to corroborate the conjecture that is developed out of the historical documents. So that's where archaeology and history are able to work together.
Are there any special technological devices you can use before you start digging to figure out what a really good location is to dig?
Well, in an urban environment, and recently we've been doing a lot of work on parking lots, some of the best technological are still paper, using the historical records to try and get an idea of how land use progressed over time. And then beyond that, we use geophysical means, such as ground-penetrating radar, things called resistivity sensors. We use magnetometers, and they rely on different aspects of the Earth's magnetic field, different qualities of the soil beneath that are, you know, in a particular area, to provide signatures that then may be interpreted as potentially human disturbed contexts or human disturbed areas, and then from there we start building information or building ideas about what those human disturbed areas might be, and then we go ahead and put our excavation pits or our excavation areas on top of some of those areas to try and determine just exactly what we're looking at. So it's kind of an interplay of technology and then the more human aspect of hand excavation.
Stephen Post is the Deputy Director of the New Mexico Office of Archaeological Studies, and David Grant Noble is the editor of the book Santa Fe, History of an Ancient City. It's the revised and expanded edition from the School for Advanced Research Press, and it's commemorating, just a little bit in advance, the 400th anniversary of Santa Fe, and they will be, along with some other authors from the book, at a book signing and panel discussion this Sunday, the 3rd of August, from 1 to 3 at the Palace of the Governors. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
We're going to take a little break right now, and Robert Knott will be with us in a moment. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's with us here every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome, Roberto Knott.
Thanks for having me. We're going to take a couple weeks off here, so let's have fun today.
Yes, let's have fun. Well, yeah. First of all, this is something that maybe isn't quite so fun, but I just got a message from the station that the Emmylou Harris concert at Paolo Soleri on Saturday has been canceled, ladies and gentlemen.
You think they're going to tear down the Paolo Soleri? They're tearing up that whole Indian school campus.
You know, I just really don't think so.
Oh. Wouldn't it be terrible if you drove over there and it was gone and that's the reason why? Next Saturday night, a week in advance, Chubby Checker at Camel Rock.
Chubby Checker.
Come on, let's twist again.
Do you know how to do
like
the twist?
We did. Oh, can I twist? Are you kidding?
Really?
Sure.
Do you play Twister?
I like to watch people play Twister, especially when they got no clothes on. That same night, Craig Parker at Big Rock Casino is doing Elvis.
You win the crudeness trophy.
No, I'm not crude. I'm just honest. That's why you love having me on here. So Craig Parker doing Elvis because it's Elvis's birthday this time of year, even though he's dead. I love Elvis. This guy named Baker Knight wrote all these songs for Dean Martin, and he wrote one for Elvis. That sounds like Dean Martin, and I bet you've heard it. It goes something like this. Oh my God, I just forgot all the words.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, I forget it. It's called, what the heck is the name of that thing?
I don't know.
Oh,
This good radio, man.
You're not kidding. It's terrible. And oh, The Wonder of You. That's it. It's a terrific song. I'll sing it later.
All right.
I have to think of the lyrics. What's happening in the art galleries tonight? Well, you can go over to Gerald Peters and see William Shepard reviewing the West and Olympic Circles, selection from the Beijing series, which is sculpture by John Van Alstyne, and Western Vistas, paintings by Arturo Chavez. Reception at Gerald Peters, 5 to 7. The show runs through September 6th. Jenny Cooley Gallery at 717D, as in Delightful, Canyon Road, has Kids Art 2008. Drawings and all the proceeds, you're going to love this, Mary Charlotte, benefit Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary.
Animal Sanctuary, good doggies.
Reception 4 to 7 today. Downtown on Galisteo Street, Joyce Robbins Gallery has Internal Edge, paintings by Dick Evans. Reception 5 to 7. Show runs for a couple of weeks. And on Palace Avenue, Peterson Cody has Signs of the Times. Paintings by Annie Dover, Gordon Inyard, and Desmond O'Hagan. Reception 5 to 7:30 p.m. There's a full list of gallery openings tonight in the Pasatiempo calendar, page 88. Looks like there's about 30 of them. Everything from A. Corso Gallery on Canyon Road to Touching Stone Gallery opposite the Texaco Station on Old Santa Fe Trail.
And next week, Antonio Lopez will be speaking at Ecoversity. He was on my show not too long ago, and he wrote a book called Mediacology, and he'll be speaking at Ecoversity on Tuesday, August 5th. And it's all about bridging media literacy with eco-literacy. And My thing just went away. Here it goes. That's at 6:30 at 2639 Eco Agua Fria, 424-9797.
Meanwhile, the opera's continuing with Handel's Radamisto. That's at 8:30 p.m. tonight. I still have not seen that particular opera. Have you?
Mm-mm, not yet.
Okay. And you can still take Santa Fe Opera backstage tours at 9 o'clock on Friday mornings, which means you should get up there now. Go up to the Santa Fe Opera. It's not too expensive to get in, and you can see the costume shop, the prop shop, and the production areas. 986-5900. Now, let's say you're not into Handel, but you like Beethoven. He was another one of those classical guys. There's going to be a Santa Fe Symphony Orchestra tribute to Beethoven featuring pianist Adam Neiman at 8 o'clock tonight at the Lenzik, 988-1234. Meanwhile, Craig Smith wrote a very positive review of the Juan C. D. Flamenco Theater Company, which is playing up at the Lodge of Santa Fe in the traditional Maria Benitez Cabaret Room, since Maria is not performing this summer. 8:30 p.m. tonight, if you like flamenco, according to Craig Smith, it's good stuff. See the review by him on page 18 of Pasatiempo. Call the Lenzik, 988-1234. And I will plug the Warehouse 21 Theater show, which runs through the weekend, Through the Mirror, original show by Winston Morris Green. He wrote it, he directed it, he's acting in it, he's producing it, and I think he built the sets. 7 o'clock, 989-4423.
Hey, guess what? This Saturday at Cloud Cliff Restaurant, the space formerly known as Cloud Cliff Restaurant, from 9:30 to 1 o'clock, is Avi's Mambo Room. And it's the last Mambo Room with special guest DJ Timbalero. And let's see. There's a free salsa class with paid admission at 8:30, and that's Tony Perez. And lots more great fun door prizes, and we're sad to see it go. But you know what? There will be more salsa in other venues.
Hey, I just thought of it.
What?
When no one else can understand me, when everything I do is wrong, you give me hope and consolation, you give me strength to carry on, and you're always there to lend a hand in everything I do. That's the wonder. The wonder of you. Remember that song? That was a great song. How old were we when that song came out?
I don't know how old you were.
I was 10 or 11. I keep trying to pinpoint your age, and I get nowhere fast. Born 20 miles away. Poughkeepsie, huh?
Something in that vicinity.
Yeah, okay. August in the Garden. That's a talk by horticulturist Michael Clark at 10 o'clock Saturday, Tropic of Capricorn. If you're curious how August is going in your garden, you should drive out there and listen to the talk. Tropic of Capricorn is at 86 Old Las Vegas Highway. It's a nice little drive, not far from Bobcat Bite, one of my favorite hamburger joints. I got to get out there and say hi to them and maybe eat.
They're great.
983-2700. Meanwhile, a whole different kind of presentation that afternoon, Saturday, by Carol Fisher, is called Vietnam, North and South. I assume it's a travel presentation because it's being held at the Travel Bug Coffee Shop, 839 Paseo de Peralta, 992-0418, 5 to 6 p.m. I reckon it's free, but it don't say none. Usually these talks are free.
By the way, just in the Mambo, back to the Mambo theme, there's on Saturday, the 2nd of August, I guess that's tomorrow, there's a benefit for the Southwest Care Center from 4 to 8 at 707 Contemporary, 707 Canyon Road, music by Sabor and DJ Mambo, dance lessons, performance with Carlos Mora, much, much more. There's a donation that includes a meal. You can call 989-9255. But get this, if you show up to the Mambo Room at Cloud Cliff later on with a ticket stub from that event, then you can get into Mambo Room for free.
That's pretty good. Tomorrow's my brother's birthday, I just remembered. And what's strange is Monday is my father's birthday, and it's just 2 days apart, and it's always bewildered me as I was growing up. Although I think they were different years when they were married.
I certainly hope that your father was born in a different year than your brother.
I'm sure they were, because when I was growing up, there was a lot of age difference between them. The Santa Fe Artist Market continues 9 to 3 tomorrow at the Casa Solana Shopping Center. The Santa Fe Farmers Market, which has cooking demonstrations by Chef Kendra Arnold of Body of Santa Fe, 10 o'clock in the Para Building parking lot. And the Whole Foods Market Summer Concert Series is tomorrow from 11 to 3 with Vivian and John doing folk music. Plus there's food. It's at Whole Foods Market, which is on 1090 St. Francis Drive, formerly Wild Oats, no charge.
Hey, speaking of Body of Santa Fe, which is pretty much across the street from the Santa Fe Baking Company.
You ought to see the Body of Santa Fe across the table from me. Go ahead.
A little down from... you know, who's being obnoxious now? Just for the record. Tonight at 8 o'clock, trance dance. Then tomorrow, 7:30, kirtan singing, ecstasy of the divine nature.
Ooh,
then on Sunday at 2:30, Dr. Khunchak Gyaltsen, Tibetan medical doctor and Buddhist monk. 2:30, presentation of the body as viewed in Tibetan medicine. And then 7 o'clock, the mind-body connection in Tibetan medicine. For more information on all of this and anything else at Body of Santa Fe, 986-0362, or you can go to bodyofsantafe.com.
Did you ever see that movie Ecstasy with Hedy Lamarr?
No.
She goes swimming nude and leaves her clothes on a horse, and then the horse runs away. That stuff's great. Milongro Argentine Tango, did you talk about this?
Milongo, no.
Santa Fe Tango Board presents a dance social. Lessons 3 to 4 p.m. Sunday. Followed by dancing 4 to 8. This is coincidence. I'm not trying to plug them that much, but it's at Body. 333 Cordova Road. Got to pay to get in. 986-0362. Oddly enough, that afternoon, David Geist is performing his Oscar Levant tribute, remembering George Gershwin and friends. 2 o'clock at Pranzo over on Montezuma Avenue by Borders, San Bosco Center. You got to pay to get in at the door. 984-2645. The same day is Sing for Hope, Songs of Words Left Unsaid. Now, why would you sing songs about words that are left unsaid if they're supposed to be left unsaid? I don't know why you would sing them, but it's an operatic concert to benefit the St. Vincent Cancer Center, so it's a good cause. 6 o'clock Sunday, Santa Fe Scottish Rite Temple. You got to pay to get in. It's a little hefty, but I don't like paying more than $4 or $5 for myself. They're giving a website, stvin.org foundation.
Hey, there's an art show coming up, a new project space, 222 Shelby. It's dedicated to a wide range of projects, all sorts of artists and writers, and there's an opening show this weekend on Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 5 at 222 Shelby in downtown Santa Fe. It'll be there for the rest of August. For more information, 983-2052. Not sure what kind of art it is, but hey, new downtown gallery, check it out.
If you want to do poetry for 3 minutes, and no more than 3 minutes, and in fact perhaps less than 3 minutes, I guess it's like a haiku, Open Poetry Slam, 7 o'clock Sunday night at P.D. Bean, 2411 Sirius Road. You get a 3-minute time limit. Starts at 7 o'clock. Sign up at 6:30. Phone number 473-9092. So there you go. If you're a poet, get over there. The Santa Fe Bandstand Concert Series is continuing.
Yay.
Monday, 6 o'clock with Bill Hearn's Roadhouse Review, Honky Tonk, and the Club of Cowtown, Western Swing. Down on the plaza, down Santa Fe way. And the outside-in productions of this Santa Fe Bandstand continues through the week, 6 o'clock Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and 12 noon Tuesday and Thursday as well. And they're very popular. I went down there the other night to listen, but there was a hailstorm, so I went and got a beer somewhere. That happens a lot. I like when it rains. It always leads me into somebody's bar.
Rain leads to beer for Robert Dunn.
Well, you got to get wet somehow. You may as well do it indoors instead of out. Tuesday, at the Armory for the Arts Theater, 1050 Old Pecos Trail, Creativity for Peace. It's an event that brings together about 20 women between the ages of 15 and 21 from Israel and Palestine who discuss their experiences after they got together for 3 weeks of a reconciliation program, I think out there in Pecos. And they're going to show a documentary about this program called Encounter Point. 6 o'clock. Tuesday, got to pay to get in. We don't mention prices on KSFR, your community radio station.
With great respect, wasn't that last week?
If it were, then we got it wrong in the Paso Tiempo calendar. So find out by calling 984-1370. I apologize if I'm wrong, and if I'm right, there you have it. But that is possible. We sometimes get it wrong.
That's possible. Hey, Jane Hirschfield is reading and signing books this weekend at Collected Works Bookstore, Sunday the 3rd of August. At 6 o'clock, and that's at Collected Works, is right across the street from the Lenzic Theater at 208 West San Francisco Street. And Jane Hirschfield is an author of and translator of many books of poetry and so on, and definitely worth going to see.
Hey, what time is it?
8:46.
What did you do last night?
Oh, what I did was I DJed at the, I was trying to think if it was anything that I can say on the radio, but yes, I DJed at the Warehouse 21 at the event called Heart of Salsa, and it was a benefit for the Adelante program at the Santa Fe Public Schools.
That's what you do. I go home and watch Monster Quest. These guys find, like, these Siberian tigers in
London.
What
did you do last night?
I was, you know, I was saying, I look at
Why didn't you come to the salsa?
I didn't. Nobody invited me. I saw the Monster Quest was on 8 o'clock on one of the Discovery channels. They were looking for Siberian tigers in the heart of London, so I went and saw it. Between that and doing the salsa with you, if somebody just told me, I would have shown up. Was it a good crowd?
It was okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Another opera that I recommend is Billy Budd, Britain's piece. I'm not a big opera fan, but it's pretty darn good. That's Wednesday night.
This town will turn you into an opera fan if you're not one.
It certainly will. There's a lecture by ceramicist Peter Pinnell called A Ceramic Smorgasbord. Smorgasbord, I guess. 7 o'clock Wednesday at Santa Fe Clay in the Rail Yard. And among the other things happening is ballroom and Latin dancing at the dance station. Did you already say that Thursday night?
No, I didn't.
Well, it's at 7:30.
Yay.
Lessons followed by dancing to DJ music. Got to pay to get in, 989-9788, and that's Thursday night.
Now, we talked yesterday on the show briefly about Tessa Horan, who was a Santa Fe, lifelong Santa Fe resident, Peace Corps volunteer. And when she was active in the Peace Corps, she died in a shark attack, and there is a television program on the Discovery Channel called The Day of the Shark, and it will be airing this Saturday at, well, let's see, 9 o'clock, 8 central, and then Sunday, 1 o'clock, 12 central. I don't know what that means about mountain time, but check out the Discovery Channel because this extraordinary young woman is featured in it.
That's correct. Friday night, and you want to go hear some music, and you're saying, where do we go? Where do we go? I'm going to give you some options. Jerry Carthy's playing some Irish tunes, I think, at Cafe Dominic at 6 o'clock. It's free. The Santa Fakers are doing rock and roll at the Cowgirl. Slight cover charge tonight. John Gooch on the piano, 5:30, El Dorado Hotel. No cover, followed by Calle 66, doing salsa at 8:30. Slight cover charge. La Fiesta Lounge at La Fonda Hotel on the plaza has the Hoodoos, rock and blues, 8 o'clock. No cover. If you want to go to the Santa Fe Brewing Company, the Ryan McGarvey Band's playing some blues at 8 o'clock, slight cover charge. And the Jakes are doing classic rock at 9:30 tonight. Tin Star Saloon on Water Street, slight cover.
Never mind.
Last thing I was going to say was Tiny's. Sterling O'Neill, R&B, 8:30 p.m., no cover. Go ahead.
I don't think you talked about this, but the New Mexico Jazz Workshop presents its 32nd annual Summer Music Festival, Salsa and Jazz Blues Under the Stars, tomorrow from 7 to 10, Jeff Brown Trio and Burt Dalton Brazil Trio, and that's at the Albuquerque Museum Amphitheater at 2000 Mountain Road Northwest in Old Town Albuquerque.
Pretty good. I did not talk about that. I'm glad you did. The Engine House Theater in Madrid is still looking for readers, performers, storytellers, and poets for a show called Words, Words, Words. Call Sleam, S-L-E-A-M, at 505-795-3742. The theater, now how do you pronounce this? The Theater of Grand Guignol?
I don't know.
Well, it's a sort of that dark theater from the 1800s. There's auditions this weekend at the Santa Fe Playhouse. I don't know, from noon, Saturday and Sunday. Liam Lockhart, who's a terrific guy, good director, is directing this here evening of a compilation of French horror stories. It's going to be a Halloween show. So if you want to audition, bring a monologue. The show's going to run in October.
Hey, this is a week in advance, but since I'm not going to be here a week from today, the Fabulous Fandango fundraiser is at the Mariposa Montessori School and the Foundation for Educational Enhancement. Actually, it's not going to be there, but they are sponsoring this fundraiser at La Fonda, and it will benefit 8 different local nonprofit organizations. There will be a silent auction. South by Southwest will be playing all sorts of good things. For more information, you can call 995-9659.
And if you're thinking of going out of town just a little bit away, despite the gas prices, Abiquiu has the Abiquiu Chamber Music Series inaugural season. That means it's the first time. They got a...
Thank you for defining the word inaugurate.
All right, so what does coloratura mean?
Coloratura, well, it comes from the... It's the same etymology as the word color, so it's basically a colorful singing style.
Oh, well, a colorful singing style. Soprano Pamela Unger and pianist Madeline Williamson are teaming up in Abiquiu at 2 o'clock Sunday to do this chamber music series thing. Call 685-0076 for information. Meanwhile, down in Albuquerque, you can go to the National Hispanic Cultural Center on 4th Street for Puerto Rico Letraria. Oh, boy, my Spanish is even failing me this morning. Literature. Political and aesthetic poster art spanning 50 years. Show runs through August.
And hey, speaking of poster art, did you go to that Polish poster show on Canyon Road?
No, but I got to get by there and see Marty.
It's fabulous.
Marty's show.
Those posters are amazing.
He's got a lot of stuff happening up there, and it's called Vintage Posters, the Rosenberg Collection Gallery.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Great.
Right now he's got Jazz Masters. That's the Polish posters you're talking about?
Yes.
So that runs through August 14th. He's going to be doing an upcoming one, I think, on cinema, too. So it's a great poster shop, 901 Canyon Road, opposite the back of the tea house.
Exactly. Right opposite the back of the tea house. No, I mean, who knew, besides Marty Rosenberg, that Poland produced some of the most creative graphic artists?
He knows a lot about that European stuff. Those posters are great. I read about the film posters of his about 5 years ago, and there's some interesting stuff there.
Hey, what's going on at St. John's? Well, did you do that one already?
I didn't.
Okay. Monday, August 4th at 12:15, Carla Cook, soprano, and David Bolotin, piano. And they're going to be doing works of Handel, Mozart, Schubert, Brahms, Puccini, Foire, and others. That's free and open to the public, ladies and gentlemen. And then the Graduate Institute Lecture Series, Wednesday, August 6th at 3 o'clock, Claudia Honeywell, lecture titled One of the Ages When Things Begin, Genji and the Founding of the Japanese Aesthetic. And that's in the Junior Common Room at St. John's College, Peterson Student Center, once again, 984-6000. Is the number up there.
Do you remember that TV show from the 60s where those astronauts went back in time and ended up in caveman days? You just remind me of that.
No, I do not. What are you talking about?
That thing you just read, like going back in time, just reminded me of that, the show. I thought it was hilarious, but I was only 8. I'd probably see it today and not find it very funny at all, huh? Life in the Palace of the Governor, speaking of the past. Frances Levine, Southwest Seminar's Voices from the Past Lecture Series. She's the director of the Palace of the Governors, and she's going to talk about how things were happening in the Palace of the Governors in olden days, probably like 1952 or something.
Olden days.
At the Hotel Santa Fe, 1501 Paseo de Peralta, you got to pay to get in, 466-2775. And that's Monday night. If you want to dance on Monday night, go over to the informal all-ages swing dance at 7:30 p.m. at Odd Fellows Hall. 1125 Sirius Road near Cordova. Very cheap to get in and to learn how to swing. 473-0955. And it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Hey, what time is it?
8:54.
Yikes. What time do you have to start your closing announcement?
In 4 minutes.
Oh, boy. We have 2 weeks off, Sam. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we got
up.
A lot to talk about. We really do.
Okay. It's a good thing we're taking a two-week break because clearly the Mutual Distraction Society that you and I once had is falling apart here. I think it's good that we're going to have a little break because somebody else might get broken. I come in here, I try to be nice. Occasionally,
what'd I do?
I say
you're the one
something
who made
about
your... You're the one who got the crudeness trophy.
No, I didn't do nothing crude. I just kind of speak off the cuff and it gets me in trouble sometimes.
You don't even have cuffs. You're wearing short sleeves.
Oh, you're coming this close to...
To what?
Getting zonked to the moon, I'm telling you.
Zonked to the moon. So you're Jackie Gleason.
No, that's why I said zonked.
Yeah, but you said to the moon.
Well, that's Jackie Gleason. And what was the name of the gal that was married to him?
Alice.
What was the actress's name?
I don't know.
See that?
Well, that's your
you come
era.
Come on, and you know color. What was the word I asked
coloratura.
You about? Coloratura.
Okay,
but I can tell
okay,
you.
Okay, smarty pants. Who was the actress?
It was... I think her last name was Meadows. Audrey Meadows, am I right?
I don't know, because I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay, so...
But I can find out.
I'm sure you can. Let me see. I got the Creativity for Peace thing wrong. I mentioned Elvis and nobody cared. Chubby Checker next Saturday at Camel Rock. Some lady emailed me, called me yesterday about announcing something for next weekend about some cowboy get-together that's going to be a benefit, but she didn't email me the information, so I'm not sure what it was, and I apologize. I didn't get that email. So send that to me. We are off next week. We're not doing a show for 2 weeks while I go into rehab. Let's say you want to go down to Española. The Bond House Museum is still there on Bond Street. It's a nice little historical place. Open noon to 5, Monday through Friday. Not open Saturday or Sunday. I don't get that. And I like to mention the Las Vegas Museum because it's kind of neat. It's got Rough Rider Memorial stuff. They're out there on Grand Avenue, opened 10 to 4 Tuesday through Sunday, no charge. They currently have an exhibition called Rolling Along the Santa Fe Trail, Local History. Rolling along the Santa Fe Trail, just me and my gal and my horse's tail. Anyway, so you can head out there.
Audrey Meadows.
I was right.
You were right.
Not bad. I haven't seen that show in years. Madrid. Rock Paper Gallery has recent artifacts, sculpture by Art Ortega, and Johnson's of Madrid Gallery has landscape, group show of paintings. Head on down to Madrid this weekend if you want to see stuff. And also, On Your Feet Fiesta has DJ Zach doing live music and a silent art auction plus food 2 to 7 p.m. Sunday, Engine House Theater. So there's stuff happening in Madrid, there's stuff happening in Truchas, there's stuff happening in Reconada, there's stuff happening everywhere you want it to happen. The question is, do you want to go? Pick up your Paso Tiempo calendar and check it out. Mary Charlotte, it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you. I can't tell you how much I admire and appreciate you, and I hope I can come back in a few weeks to see you again.
Oh, no, no. The delight is all mine.
Oh, no. Please, please.
No, I wouldn't hear of it.
We're both Mutual Depreciation Society, so I know there's going to be a... It's good seeing you. I'm glad you're smiling.
Yeah, well, you know, I hope you have a nice week or two away from me.
And when you smile, my world is brighter. You touch my hand and I'm a king. Oh, ho, 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 your love to me is worth a fortune. Your kisses, girl, are everything. And you're always there to lend a hand to everything I do. Ba-ba-boo. That's the wonder of you. Take it away, girl.
Ba-ba-boo.
That's nice. You've been listening to the Mary Charlotte Show on KSFR. I think it's 101.1 FM. You
it
know the
indeed.
Deal. You
KSFR.
Can check it out. You can Google them. You can go on the internet and figure stuff out. Call the radio station if you like.
Streams
Jazz a la carte finishes,
on
comes on afterwards yet. Or some
KSFR.
BBC,
org.
Listen to them. We thank our organizers. Who did the radio stuff
you
out
can
in the booth?
Reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org.
That's right, the
radiocafe.com. Leave a message at 428.org.
That's changing on me. Trying to get rid of
428-1528 is the number of my voice. Mail number. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for
hey, Laurel, thanks.
Today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed
That's
by
right.
local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Jazz a la carte.
Con Ricardo Perez. ¿Sí?
Ricardo Perez and Helga Ancona. And
Excelente.
Who knows what else they're going to be doing and
mucho
playing.
Mucho más.
And mucho más. All
you
right.
Can think of buen fin de semana. Have a good weekend, girl. Good
buena
seeing
fin
you.
De semana.
Let's have a good couple of weeks off and not try to get in any trouble, okay?
What kind of trouble are you referring to?
I don't know. I thought we were going to hook up and gallop or something, but I doubt you're going to be there. Last time I showed up and she... I'm just teasing. Audrey Meadows. She even knows, and she knows what color Torah means.
Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company. My name is Robert Knott, and this is Mary Charlotte.
Hey, how you doing there? I'll see you later on in August.
Hasta la vista, baby.
You said it.
Ciao.
Ooh.